This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day here in Honolulu. I'm really excited with all of the events coming and just simply feeling good today. Did have a little mishap here. I got one of the best cup of teas I've had in a long time. Stopped in at Starbucks over there at Laniakea near Costco and Kahuku Boulevard and got here to the station and spilled it. But anyway, we won't cry over a spilled tea, I guess. But today, I wanted to talk, and if any of you listeners out there, last week we had several listeners waiting to talk and had questions, and more than I had imagined that would be calling in. So if you're out there and you're interested in calling up and chatting, I'm basically going to try and talk about some of the issues that have been plaguing me as well as the community out there and how information is being disseminated. We claim we make issues and we express our concerns about the media and media not doing this, and I'm always reluctant to complain about the media because it's their right to cover whatever it is that they cover. They are not obligated, but I guess morally they should be. So having said that, when Mayor Hanneman came into office, we noticed there was a great celebration and a big cake for the Honolulu Advertiser there at the City Hall. I was a little concerned. I guess I felt that the mayor was going to get his cake and ice cream and eat it too, because it's unprecedented, and I was concerned about that relationship, what it suggested to me. Like a policeman, we wouldn't want to see a policeman fraternizing with a business or getting free rides or free loads. But that's not a condemnation of the Honolulu Advertiser or anyone else. They have the right to do what they want to. But some of the concerns that I have, and I have gone to the Advertiser and other papers, and I provide them information on specifics about wrongdoings or improper behavior within the city government, state government, but more particularly the city government. And what I've noticed is a great bit of articles that I would possibly send in, notify them, give them specific information, no coverage. Then a week later, a story would come out on the same subject, but the subject would be whitewashed, wouldn't speak of the specifics. And it served as a platform on many occasions, and I'll give specifics, but equal to that, or as egregious, in my opinion, what has been happening is that the recent discovery by me that an employee or a reporter, Johnny Brennan, now works for the mayor, whom I was providing a tremendous amount of information about the landfill and other issues reflecting on the misdeeds or shortcomings of the Hanneman administration. And now he works for them. So I normally would let things like this go, but here's the concern. With reporters, 99% of them now, I say that 99% because there's 1% that have shown me that there's concerns. And that concern is, when I get information, you want to be very careful in not exposing workers or citizens to retaliation. And in this administration, you will find retaliation rampant. And I'll describe as we go on within this administration, the Hanneman administration. I would go to the paper and I would provide them specifics, documents, and individuals, the names, only if the individuals care to talk directly or to the reporter, never disclosing or divulging that individual's name or anything, unless they really wanted to. But in some instances, I did just that with the permission of the complainant or the person or the party informing. And to see the Honolulu Reporter now working for the mayor, it's disheartening. And just simply, I'm not going to stand for it. And if they never write an article with my name in it, that's fine, because I'd rather... It is the trust of the people and the right that I'm trying to correct the wrongs that we see going on. So I'm committed to that. And so if you don't see my name in the paper, no problem. I'll do the small amount of efforts that I do. But what happens, even in editorials, I see the general public write something, an editorial to the paper. And then we find that there's a response from the mayor's office, insulting, condescending. But yet, if I wrote an article or editorial to the paper, it's edited, and they want to remove any mention of the names or what have you. So I'm really concerned. And give you some examples, or more recent ones. You've heard me possibly talk about the Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant, the Waimanawa Gulch landfill, and many other instances or situations. These involved, the city has a responsibility to operate these facilities in compliance with the federal state laws. And we see that Waimanawa Gulch, for example, was being operated unlawfully or illegally, and there were penalties assessed. Yet, in that case, the mayor, who owns the city, who owns the landfill, didn't sanction or take any actions against waste management, and in fact enjoined and embraced them to further involve and permitting the illegal overfill, the operations of the leachate, and many other issues. And there right now there's issues about dumping contaminated soil. They're trying to track contaminated soil, the state is, on Dildren, containing Dildren and chlordane going there. That can only be used for daily cover, but it has to be below the action levels or safe levels, I'll describe it. But nothing absolutely in the arsenal of the mayor prevents him from canceling a contract, putting it out to bid, because ultimately it's the taxpayer who eats it, and also the environment that is impacted, which we own both. So if we look at an article on August 26, 2008, just going to walk through some of these and be disjointed here, but state looks into July gas leak at Sand Island. Now, the State Department of Labor and Industrial Relations is investigating a leak of potentially deadly gas at the Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant. No workers at the facility were injured during the leak of hydrogen sulfide and methane during the week of July 6 through 11. Two workers have filed workers' compensation claims in connection with the leak. Well, that's rather contradictory right there. But again, this is the information that the mayor's public spokesperson, Mr. Marcus Owens, shared with the paper. The paper should have tasked Mr. Owens with that, and I learned that the paper had in fact been contacted by the workers, who told the paper and the reporter that, yes, I was impacted. But in this article, it didn't go in there. It didn't talk about that. Two workers were sickened, and untold numbers of workers for other companies or private contractors in there were actually sickened or nauseated or what have you. The leak was detected after employees in a neighboring building complained of foul odors. Well, folks, what is the real truth is, I went down to the state health department, and the leaks have been occurring either from what they call a LOCAT odor cleaner or a Phoenix odor cleaner or a Calgon area, and they've had odors for the last 10 years. They've received fines up to 2005, but in fact, they were still in violation. So it is absolutely wrong the way these matters are being, and it's such a luxury that's been being afforded to Mayor Hanneman. And I don't know if all of you out there, if what I'm hearing and what I'm being approached with, people are telling me that he's a bully, that he is just all kinds of things in describing. And I've invited the mayor, and I would have asked him those questions. So he refuses to respond or come in, as usual, as any other communications we've sent to him over the years. But I'm concerned, and I would brush those things off and give little credibility or credence to them, the comments made by people. But let me describe to you some of the things or tactics that I have personally observed and experienced with Mayor Hanneman. He held a meeting in the Kapolei Honolulu, Kapolei Hale, and this was supposed to be a public meeting regarding the landfill and the benefits program that he was proposing. This is in his early stages of his administration. Public meeting, public place. I arrived there to film it, and in doing so, I had the mayor there hiding and trying to stay out of the camera angle of the view, and I had his people to actually walk up and put their hands over my camera and push it or stand in front of my camera. Now, this is a public place. To add insult to injury, he then takes his cell phone as he leaves, try to shuffle out of the building, being undetected or unseen, and then calls the police. That's number one. This is a public place, public meeting, but I guess it was only for his friends. So that's just one instance. Another instance, I had the occasion to, as many people know, people call and complain and ask me to help them or expose some activities that are they believe is unlawful or unethical. And people call. And it involved it was a situation where the liquor commissioner had, or the executive director had actually used or authorized or used the main number of, most of the liquor commissioner's officers to serve as security guards at a private function, a charter school function, concert. And there was a complaint. So the individual went to the news station. And so what happened was, instead of conducting an investigation, Mr. Hanneman had his director to file a complaint with the Attorney General's office against me, saying that I had obtained documents that were not authorized, never investigating the activity of his director that he appointed to the Liquor Commission. That's point two. And I was actually subpoenaed by the Attorney General to answer questions. Now, mind you, these questions were regarding documents that KITV-4 had already told them they had the documents and seen them, but KITV didn't get called in and didn't get interrogated and what have you. I don't mind interrogation, because when things are, I'm trying to tell the truth, all I can tell you is that the truth will come out before, then, and afterwards. So never worried about that. But this is just to share with you the types of practices that goes on within this administration. Can we afford it? I don't think so. And can we afford the relationships with the union? We see the great sign waving along the highways and along the streets. If you take a closer look, what you're going to find is a union. You have the Steel Workers Union. Now, why would they be involved, the Steel Workers Union? Well, they would be involved because if we get steel on steel, guess who stands to benefit? The Steel Workers Union. So, I don't know, but I'm familiar with the various occasions of corrupt government. And folks, a corrupted person starts off as a child who learns his ways and nobody ever slaps his hand or correct him or chastise him. And then it becomes further when he get people to smooth over this behavior. And these examples, for example, causes great concern. And this is not a political thing, but I am not going to sit by and experience the bad dealings of a government and be the recipient of that treatment, that unlawful, unethical treatment, and say nothing because they may not cover another article, or the mayor may not, or the public may not. I'm offering you this information to share with you that when these things and these behaviors occur, it impacts people. Imagine being a wife or children, and you say goodbye to your father or your husband or your brother or your son who goes off to the Sand Island treatment plant in Sand Island, and you walk over there and you go to work as normal, and then all of a sudden the mother, the wife, the children, the brothers or sisters hear over the news that there's been a major explosion at the Sand Island wastewater treatment plant. And they would think, no, there's absolutely no way could that happen, because it's just a sewage treatment plant and my husband's going over there and it's safe. Well, what happened? Methane is very explosive and volatile. Hydrogen sulfide is very dangerous in high levels, or even in low levels if you don't get out of the area. So imagine this behavior of simply not taking any action and allowing this condition in the dealing with the ambient air, allowing those conditions to degrade and have those men working in such a condition is just criminally and negligent, period. There's no way to describe it. And when we see that the articles, and they're not hitting the points and holding Hanneman or Takamura or the administration's feet to the fire. Here's another statement back into the Sand Island wastewater treatment plant. Investigators with the State Department of Health Clean Air Branch found, quote, no evidence of hazardous conditions or that the situation was mishandled. Well, speaking to the health department, they've never issued such a statement. Number two, it was absolutely false, and I spoke to Marcus Owens to ask him where did he get his information. He scratched his head and said, well, somewhere, let me see if I have my notes. No, you would know factually. So this is a luxury that's being afforded to these guys. He states also in this article, there is no way to tell how long the leak was occurring, the city said. That is absolutely false. The city and county has to monitor the emissions at the plant at various locations within the plant daily, but for legal purposes, they are now allowed to so many days out of the week. It used to be they'd have to test it every day. But there is a way, and there is a log that the workers there have to put in. But when you smell it, obviously they do sampling. And they did, in fact, do sampling, and the meters were absolutely off the record. The meters only go up to a certain level, and then they stop. So those levels exceeded that. So anytime there is gas, it's called a non-event, or they, in turn, a complaint event such as high levels of gas, have to report that to the state. So that is a false statement on the part of Mr. Owens. Marcus Owens also stated that for the City Department of Environmental Services, there were no reports of employees throwing up, passing out, or requiring hospitalization or experiencing any other adverse reactions. That is false. Owens did not have any information regarding the health of the workers. But they did, in fact, take the workers who did contact their supervisors and complain about that, about the gases and their illnesses, or they were concerned about their health and welfare there because of the gases. And one was threatened, or several were threatened, that he must shut the bleep up. And in turn, I was able to recover one of the documents where one of the employees apparently filed a complaint of a hostile workplace regarding this incident. Now, these individuals had, in fact, contacted the newspaper. I, in fact, contacted the newspaper and was told, well, the workers didn't want to provide their first and last name and didn't have any documents and didn't get back to me. But the question is, the city didn't provide any documents either. They, in fact, did give their last name and first name, but the facts weren't there. It was false statements. If someone were to inhale the gas, they would have passed out, the article says. If someone had passed out, we would have had a bigger problem, and thankfully it didn't happen. The city subcontractor, Centegro Wastewater Treatment, Inc., is responsible for the system that maintains the gas. Actually, the contractor is just the contractor. It is doing the bidding for the city. It is the city's responsibility. The city is responsible for Centegro, and Centegro is just a subcontractor. Now, speaking of Centegro, and there's another article that came out that about audit of biosolids and project got disputed. But speaking of Centegro, there's been some practices over there that I've been informed of as recent as last Sunday, where the city takes wastewater, sewage water, and in turn it comes in from Fort Shafter, Ever Beach, or Pearl City area, not Ever Beach, but Pearl City, over to Hawaii Kai and bleeds into the Sand Island Treatment Plant. The city tried to take out a great bit of the suspended solids. They remove those solids and they give them to Centegro to have Centegro remove the solids and basically cook them. We'll just describe it as cooking or a digester. But what they found, the workers have found, and this is their allegations, is that Centegro is taking that sludge that they have removed, that the city has removed from the sewage water that will be going into the ocean, and Centegro is taking that at night and dumping it back into the head flume or the Mackay lift station, which is at the influent or the entrance of the station, so to speak. So that is absolutely, if true, is absolutely criminal. But they've been doing it for some while, and then they turn around and say, well, we don't really know the cause. Well, here's what you can attribute the cause to: the high levels of gas. One, if you dump this in, the system is only running on a slow speed, and it's a centrifugal pump. And that pump is designed to carry water, pretty much. There are other pumps designed to carry sludge or heavier materials. So if you have a normal flow and you anticipate and you add the chemicals, ferric chloride or whatever you're adding, to treat that and kill the bacteria or whatever you're doing, and then you're going to process it, send it to the ocean or to the outfall. But if you introduce another large volume of sludge, you're going to overwork the system, and then you're going to create a system that is failing, and it becomes septic, and as a result, you end up with gases. So that could be one of the problems. Why, then, is the city allowing the Centegro to continue to operate? But if you read the articles that come with that, on both articles, strange enough, the reporter reports that Centegro wasn't available for comment. At some point, we all should be tired of that. But that is what I am concerned about, and that I hear in other instances. I will share with you another story that will, it's almost unbelievable, but and I believed it when I first heard it. Some while back, Mayor Mufi Hanneman and one of his people, or friends, Mr. George Parrish, were there at the Mililani Golf Course, and they were meeting with Mr. De La Cruz, Councilman Donovan De La Cruz. The information that I received originally was Mr. Hanneman just suddenly stood up and thrust his fingers at the councilman and was overheard saying that he will destroy Mr. De La Cruz. Now, one might argue, that's not true, and how do you know that? Well, I didn't know that, but I trusted the source. But then I did, in fact, confirm that this incident did, in fact, occur with the councilman himself, Mr. De La Cruz. So if you don't do it his way, and if you don't agree with him, I don't know if you would call that bullying tactics or just simply illegal or disrespectful. But do we want to continue to allow this type of behavior and not be able to call him on the carpet? Now, some of you know that I had the City Ethics Commission chief here, Mr. Chuck Tato. And Mr. Tato and I believe in what he's doing. But some of the things that I'm hearing out there is that several people have called the office and given information to Mr. Tato, and I guess he's overworked or can't. But it's all focusing on the administration and how it's handling personnel matters and how it's lending itself to basically, as some of the workers describe, criminal in its behavior. For example, if you were an employee and you observe your supervisor do what you believe or know what you believe to be unlawful and unethical, you report that. You in turn are now placed on what they call an investigative leave, meaning you're extracted from the office, you're put on leave with pay, and work goes on, and then they go and build a case to retaliate against you. Now, I have information that shows at least six individuals that have experienced that in the recent past. Now, I don't know how this all relates to good government, good management, but what about if we look at the rail? This is the same administration that's going to handle the rail. This is the same administration. So are we arriving there with good science, good information, good facts? Or are we arriving there with people that are hunkering down and afraid to speak, afraid to convey the truth, afraid to tell the public what is going on? If they go to the papers, it don't get covered. The next thing you know, there's an article in the paper that is smoothing over. If you write an editorial, you get called names in the editorial. If you call the office, you have an integrity hotline, and that's just a safety net for the mayor that he's designed himself. So in essence, what is a taxpayer left? How are we able to scrutinize? So on that note, I'm going to take a break. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can pick us up at carolcox.com, and we'll be right back.
For ways to save money on gas and help the environment. The EPA Smart Driving Tips could give you more miles per gallon and reduce air pollution. Make sure your tires are properly inflated. Accelerate and brake slowly. Slowly. Be aware of your speed. If you're shopping for a new car, choose the cleanest, most efficient vehicle that meets your needs. If we each adopt just one of these tips, we'd get more miles for our money and breathe a little easier. For more info, visit epa.gov/greenvehicles.
Can't you hear me when I'm
door. I want a little rain or water. That you want that Jimmy Star, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big. You just call. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. You can phone in at 524-1080, and we welcome your comments or your scoldings or what have you, but we're always willing to listen. Picking up where we left off regarding behaviors within the administration. Now, I'm going to share with you why all of you should be concerned. I'm going to try to make a case, but really, I'm just teasing. I'm just going to tell you the facts, and you make the case if you want. In 2006, on or about October 15th, there was an incident at the Kailua Wastewater Treatment Plant. Now, this is information provided to me by workers, plural, at that facility and within the city government. That there was an actual spill, and the spill occurred because there was a shortage in power out there at the plant, and they were running a generator, and the generator's muffler set the roof on fire, and therefore they had to shut it down because they were using the generator to pump sludge into tanks. And in turn, in doing so, they had to shut it down. So instead of reporting that as a spill, or a bypass of raw sewage and what have you, this is what they did. The information that I'm receiving is that they reported it as a test. Now, why am I so heavy on this issue about the administration and what the administration is doing and the cover-ups and what the behavior is that the EPA supposedly were investigating this. And guess what? Nothing yet. And this is a couple of months, I'm informed they've had the case. The State Health Department, I speak to them, they have absolutely no knowledge of it. I've queried their records, and now the Clean Water Branch, I'm still waiting for their response. But, so the folks out there in Kailua, if you think we're over here down in the dungeon just pissing and moaning, I would say to you, you should be very concerned that if this behavior is occurring, you just wouldn't know. There is another situation where they tore down a building at the wastewater treatment plant out in one of those areas. And the report is that they didn't profile the building for asbestos or anything. They just tore it down, hauled it away, exposing the workers, exposing the public. Now, mind you, this building may not have asbestos, but the requirement, you should screen. So there's not a real problem with this other than it's coming under the Environmental Services Department. I guess the best way to describe it is that they manage their environment to have a corrupt workplace. It's not going to happen on this watch. And if any of you out there got anything to add to this, please feel free to call. And I'd also like to share with you, you heard me talk about the sign wavings along the streets regarding go rail, go, and what have you. You see that there's big trucks driving through, and they're from Pine Ridge. Now, Pine Ridge Farms has an interest here, and that is they're going to get the truck a lot. But Pine Ridge, for example, March 6, 2008, the Department of Health conducted an inspection at the facility and observed the following permit violations. A permittee failed to conduct an annual visible emissions test on diesel engines and an annual source performance test for crushing screening plant for the calendar year of 2007. They issued citations. The DOH did. Now, why would Mayor Hanneman be partnering up with the violator? Why? Why on each occasion? Well, and why would Pine Ridge be so quick to go out there? Well, you heard me talk about it in previous shows that Pine Ridge stands to benefit because they want to run a plant out there. And while PVT, there's a landfill there in Nanakuli, which is situated near Pine Ridge. Pine Ridge came in, and here's some of the violations that they did. 831, a field citation issued. Visible fugitive dust observed during silos demolition. Informal issued, CSP, copy of maintenance, right? A field citation was issued for permittee relocating the TPH Pegson crusher. Informal complaint issued. Permittee did not submit semi-annual monitoring reports. And it goes on and on and on. And it's rather strange. Now, this is a NOV fax, a company Pine Ridge. The docket number is 08CAE009. So any of you who wish to get a copy of this, you can either send me an email at carol@carolcox.com or any of this information, and I'll be more than happy to provide you with that. But the big question is, why do we have a mayor who seems to be, we have the unions, we have the trucking companies that clearly have violations, having little or no regard for the public health and welfare, and here are the violations, and yet they're arm in arm with this mayor. Now, backing up, let's go back to the M&E. To the Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant. The Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant employs or contracts with, or the city contracts with, M&E Pacific. Now, some of you know that Rudolph Mina was accused and charged for donation or campaign donations to the Hanneman Fund, or to the Harris, correction, the Harris Campaign Fund. Yet, he's still serving there at a Sand Island Treatment Plant. This company was also implicated in the illegal dumping of sludge in Hawaii Kai. So, I don't know if talking about, what I'm hoping for is that in talking about the Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant, sewage plant if you want to call it, I'm hoping the you-know-what hits the fan, because it's about time. Pretty articles is fine. Good. You know, I mean, this man goes to the extent, if you notice in the paper, they're not an apology, but had to declare that Obama was not supporting him or did not endorse him or anything. But you see to what lengths will occur. But the problem is that at this wastewater treatment plant, let me give you another situation, and I'm trying to not bore you with this and not trying to incite you, but I hopefully you can go away with a bit of information that learn something about this administration or our government. And that is, you take, for example, ferric chloride. Ferric chloride is being used, or has been used, or is being used at the Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant and other plants. And it's to deal with suspended solids and help to deal with odor and what have you. Now, some while back, not too long ago, the ferric chloride was $3.50 a gallon. The supplier of that was supplying it, and they had 1,000 gallons on reserve. That's a practice, and that's a standard. And so what happened was someone, I'm told, from CH2ML Hill, who is also, you've heard about them in other, with the rail, CH2ML Hill recommended that you start, instead of treating the water with 250 gallons or 200 gallons to 250 gallons a day, you want to do 1,000 gallons a day. And then that created a situation where it drained down the actual backlog or the surplus of ferric chloride. And then that ferric chloride then was used down, and they placed this condition on the supplier, and the supplier could meet it, basically, but it would be a slight delay, but it was artificially placed, these conditions. So they put out an emergency bid, and guess who got it? Brewer Environmental Industry. So they use it 1,000, and now it's $6.50 a gallon. And I'm told Brewer is just simply able to provide almost exactly the amount that the original supplier. So we just have to really ask questions. What is going on here? And I have a list, a laundry list of instances and incidences where this administration is simply not living up to the standards. And I try not to be personal and try not to take these things as a personal affront. But I have to share with you, and I want to be very honest with you, I'm offended in some sense personally because as an African-American who lives here, I'm experiencing and being told stories that this administration tolerates the discrimination, a handful of African-Americans that work in the refuse department and the wastewater department and the environmental services department are receiving what they believe is unfair practices of racial discrimination, disparity, and on and on. And they file complaints. And they've suffered, or encountered, or endured name callings, being called boy, or as some say, the N-word, whatever that means. But anyway, this should not be tolerated. And Mayor Hanneman, if you're out there listening, you have to do something about this. You cannot run to the advertiser and have them to write a nice article for you and then escape the hardship of or responsibility of setting up a good climate and ensure and reaching out and incorporating and recruiting people of all color, people of all races, rather than just a small portion. You have to do something to address these issues. Now, mind you, he attempted here in a very feeble attempt just recently, August 25th. Now, I had called their office some while back to complain about these concerns that I had been shared with and interviewed some of the workers. Here's in regards to some of the N-word name-calling and some of the treatment by the workers, the African-American workers. It's subject. It's from the Department of Environmental Services, Eric Takamura. This is August 25th, 2008. Inappropriate language in the workplace. Please be reminded that inappropriate language such as swearing and use of racial slangs or phrases is not acceptable. This behavior, even in jest, or when viewed as, quote, shop talking, quote, or what is often considered, quote, normal base yard talk, is unacceptable. The use of inappropriate language is subject to disciplinary actions, including suspension and dismissal. Please treat your fellow employees with the respect you expect from them. Now, that sounds good, and I describe it as a feeble attempt because some of the African Americans that have contacted me have been retaliated against and actually received more retaliation from their supervisors. One has actually been put on leave and leave with pay while investigating. So something's wrong with this program, and I am concerned that taxpayers' money are being used to permit this behavior and permit this type of behavior from the administration. And by the way, I'm also hearing a lot of complaints from the women that work for and in this administration. So you as a listener, if you are concerned and would like to ask this mayor to be more accountable, to be more responsible. And I state them now without him in my presence, and I will state them with him in my presence. But he apparently don't see that these issues are me. I'm not a bigger station, a bigger talk show, so I guess it's not of any importance. But the real issue here is how we are treating the environmental issues, how we are addressing violations. And if you understand that you've seen the mayor, Mayor Hanneman, go before the public and go to the EPA and go to Washington and aggressively object to modifying the Sand Island wastewater treatment plant. Now, you know, he should be looking out for the good, and he may be. One might argue that that's what he's doing. But here's the problem. If you know, just basically what I'm telling you now, we have 10 years of operations where there's emission standards that are being violated daily, monthly, weekly, yearly, and discharge of water unlawfully, and the plant is operated where you have issues on parts. They have equipment where they don't have the proper parts around to repair equipment. And in some instances, they can't repair because there's a legal issue with the Parson, R.M. Towel, and the city. So if a worker were to repair something or touch a piece of equipment that is there, what happens is that it threatens to nullify or void the warranty on that equipment, or it creates a legal issue. So it's a hellhole over there when it comes to looking out for the public's welfare. One suspicion that I have is that Mayor Hanneman refuses and fights upgrading this plant to secondary is that he does not wish to disclose the flaws, the major flaws, the change orders, the cost that it has cost, the millions of dollars that it has cost to shield this dysfunctional plant, this system that is not working, that is just sitting on the fence post. It's electronic. They have no manual overrides. So at any time, if it's based on three ceramic fuses over there. If they blow out, they're $3 a piece, but you could have a major catastrophe, major sewage spill. So the Olawai is actually midget or small in comparison to what is occurring at the Sand Island wastewater treatment plant. Absolutely, there's no comparison. That was one event at the Olawai, and there's documentation to show that previous employees, and this is prior to Hanneman, but Hanneman has maintained or retained Tim Hooten, who annually took out the budget item for repairing the problems there with the Olawai that caused the Olawai incident. So you just have to know that there's something wrong. And in regards to Senegro, here's an article. This occurred September 4th, 2008. Audit of biosolids project disputed. Just quoting Mr. Takamura, I am very pleased to say that this facility is performing exactly as it was designed to, Takamura said. The report is outdated at this time. Nonetheless, we did provide the auditor in depth. I don't know what he provided the auditor, but I can tell you this. If it's anything, it's his providing documents to the auditors, anything like in comparison to how he treats my request, I have to wait 10 days and then some for them to comply. And then when I get them, it's a roundabout or a sneaky, underhanded way. Or sometimes, just show you a little tactic that they employ, that he has allowed to be employed. I file a request on November 1, let's say. They'll sit on it, come November 10th, which is, and then they'll say 10 working days, and it goes, they'll write me back a note and says, oh, your request wasn't clear enough, so could you clarify? So now they've bought another 10 days or 20 days because now I needed to clarify. But one more, I guess, salt in the wound. I don't know how you'd describe it. There's this company called SD Systems. They haul trash. SD Systems was affiliated or owned by TNR Systems. And TNR Systems, for example, owed the city a tremendous amount of money. And the sister company or the parent company to that owed money for dumping trash at the landfill or H-Power. They ran up a big bill. Well, here recently, SD Systems ran up a big bill. And they were delinquent. But within the city refuse department, Dave Shiraishi, whom I've spoken to, one of the supervisors, is a friend. And you heard me probably some while back report that Shiraishi had taken golf. I was informed the allegations by the workers that Shiraishi had taken golf trips and gifts from this company or the parent companies or Mr. Glenn E.K. And Mr. E.K. worked for the city in a contracting role. Now, just recently, in the past month or so, SD Systems gets an emergency contract to haul trash from the private areas that properties, condominiums, and Mililani and other places that the city has. The city's trucks were broken down, what they call front-end loaders. The city's trucks, they had three, and they were broken down. Didn't work. Somehow, Mr. E.K., the SD system, there's an E.K. that owned part of it, the Sun, I guess, or whomever, SD Systems, actually got the contract, a portion of it, with King's disposal as well. But SD System bid it more money. And yet, the system laid the trucks within the city services were broken down and they wouldn't repair them. So you can see, and they were paying a large amount of money, $32,000 for short periods of time to do this, per day or per week or whatever, per week. But it was just absolutely, these things are absolutely crazy, nonsensical, and I think it could be described better as an abuse of power, abuse of authority, and breach of trust with the public. So what do we do to stop that? Hold their feet to the fire. You have many angles. But anyway, I appreciate you listening. And again, if you wish to have comment, or you can join us at carolcox.com. There's a podcast there. There's also a blog. And we'll be talking more about this. And if you have any questions, give us a call, 524-1080. I tune in now for Calvin Williams, the Hawaii Bulletin Board, always a good show. So see you next week. Aloha.
KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.